In the gospel today, we're faced with examining the nature of our prayer and how we approach our participation in the Holy Mass, right? Is it pharisaical in its approach to God, the way we approach Mass? Like a twist on the liturgical hymn, "Here I am, Lord, aren't you lucky, Lord?" Right? Is that the way we come to Mass? Or is it like the humble publican, the tax gatherer in the gospel, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner," or like St. Peter says in humility, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now, recently, I was on a phone call with my family a couple weeks ago, and a relative of mine recently heard on Relevant Radio a Mormon commenting on the Catholic faith and the doctrine of the real presence of the Eucharist, right? So Christ is really, truly, and substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist that we receive in communion. So here's the Mormon's comment. He says that if he believed what Catholics say they believe about the Eucharist, he would crawl down the aisle on his hands and knees and prostrate himself as he received Holy Communion. That's what the Mormon says. Maybe we're not so reverent. We just stroll up the aisle standing and kneel and receive Holy Communion, stand up and walk back, right? That's the implication, that we are not living what we profess. Now, I would agree with the Mormon if he's giving us a general reminder from the outside, and in all humility we should accept it, to have proper Eucharistic piety and awe, and to approach, consume our Lord in Holy Communion worthy and reverently. If that's what he's saying, you know, good for him. We'll take that and be better at what we do, right? But is there something more at work in the Mormon man's response, of which I disagree? Let's go back to the gospel today. Isn't there an echo of the Pharisee in the comment of the Mormon? "Oh God, I give you thanks that I am not as the rest of men, who don't sufficiently throw themselves on the floor in your presence as I would, like those Catholics who go walking down the aisle up to Holy Communion every weekend." Isn't there a little bit of that tinge in what he says? The way we approach our Lord in Holy Communion is based on how he comes to us. It is not us to figure out how extraordinarily we're going to approach Holy Communion. We approach it the way the Lord wants us to. How he comes to us. Our Lord comes to us in the Blessed Sacrament precisely in a mysterious way, under the form of bread and wine, so as not to generate fear, but to demand faith, and not only in his divinity, but in the fullness of his glorified humanity, body, blood, and soul. He comes ever so gently in the Eucharist, cloaked under forms understandable to us, right? The way he came in the incarnation was to not cause us fear, right? To come as a little baby in a manger. We should approach him as most of the disciples encountered our Lord after the resurrection. Not in fear or disbelief, but in faith and awe. The walk down the communion line and to the altar rail is like accompanying our Lord on the road to Emmaus and in the breaking of the bread. At communion, we don't crawl in fear, but when we say amen, we are like the disciples at Emmaus, saying, "Stay with us, because it's towards evening and the day is far spent." It seems our good friend, the Mormon, doesn't really understand Catholicism or its biblical roots. 1 Kings 19 in the Old Testament. The Lord approaches in Holy Communion the way the Lord approached Elijah at Mount Horeb, not in the strong and violent wind rending the mountains and crushing the rocks, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in a light, silent sound. We approach the Lord for Holy Communion the way Elijah did at Mount Horeb. We hide our faces, like the publican, in humility, recognizing his sins. And as Elijah went and stood before the Lord at the entrance to the cave, I think I'll follow Elijah's example rather than what the Mormon says to me. It is as if our Mormon friend conflates our Lord's sacramental presence in the Holy Eucharist with his second coming in the final judgment. I'll grant that if the Lord comes in his final judgment in a few minutes after the homily, I will be crawling on my knees towards him in judgment. But that is not the way he comes in the Holy Eucharist. The second coming is later, it's not now. This brings us back to our prayerfulness in participating at Mass. Our Lord likes to tell us, as he told his disciples, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. That publican, rather than the Pharisee, evidenced that he had gone into his heart in approaching our Lord. It is a call to prayer and devotion with our Lord as the fundamental way to participate at Mass. It is not always the externals. It is not always the rubrics. It's not always all of those details, as good as they are. It is devotion and coming to Mass that is the most fundamental aspect for all of us. If one doesn't want to believe me, St. Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologica, second part of the second part, question 81, article 7. Whether religion has an external act, he quotes Psalm 84:3, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He says the internal acts of religion, devotion, prayer, take precedence of the others and belong to religion essentially, while its external acts are secondary and subordinate to the internal acts. He goes on to define devotion, an act of the will to the effect that man surrenders himself readily to the service of God. We don't need the external act of crawling down the main aisle for communion, just crawling as close as we can get to the floor, slithering up to the communion rail in some kind of fear. The Lord asks us to recognize our inadequacy, to realize he is superior to us, to submit to him, to have compunction and render our hearts. That is the most important thing for celebrating and participating in the Holy Mass. The intrinsic and chief cause of devotion, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is God, but the intrinsic cause in our part is meditation and contemplation. In meditation, man conceives the thought of surrendering himself to God's service, basically in consideration of either God's goodness and loving kindness, thereby awakening love, the proximate cause of devotion, or in consideration of man's own shortcomings, where he needs to lean on God as his strength. So that's St. Thomas Aquinas. Lastly, in these recent days of controversy over the extraordinary form, the ordinary form of the Mass, may we be much more like the publican and less like the Pharisee. Let us remember that in either form of the Mass, our Lord desires and expects, beyond not only our external acts and our sacramental participation, essentially our true internal devotion, devotio. That is conversion of heart. Depart from us, Lord, for we are sinful, but in your mercy, may we humbly cleave to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.